on fourth down. Here's Hoyer rolling around to the right. He's going to throw the ball down the field. The game is over, and the Browns win it. As the clock runs out, they just threw a bomb down the field, and the clock is at zero.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by Liberty Ford. Victory Monday here on ESPN 850 WKNR CBD. Of course, head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. We'll hear from him, the quarterback, Brian Hoyer, Craig Robertson, Joe Hayden around 2:30. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, who made that call, which is always my favorite of his calls when it's a Browns victory at the end of the game at 1:45. But we want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. Again, remember, you have three game balls to hand out. Who gets one? Matt and I will let you know in hour number two. But let's go right now to Eric in Westlake. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
Good, man. How are you?
Yeah, I wanted to point out, it's something that I hadn't heard from listening to some talk earlier today about the wanted to give a little bit of props to Christian Yount, who was definitely under siege the first part of the season. I was watching when we were down on was about the 5 or 6 yard line, and wound up we're going to kick the field goal, and Yount gave the hard count and pulled them offside, and we wound up keeping the drive going. I think it was right at the end of like the second half. I can't remember exactly when, or end of the first half. And he came off the field, and it was cool because, of course, Pettine had this big smile on his face, and he looked at him like, "That's your job." And it was good to see him get the props and that positive feedback for getting them to pull off the line and keep the drive going for us.
Eric, that's a great point. That was a critical, critical offsides penalty. Made it 4th and a half. The Browns were able to get it. Then they got into the end zone on the touchdown pass to Terrence West, and that was huge. That was massive. And Christian Yount, a guy who they had brought in another long snapper to push him in practice 1 week, was on the verge of losing his job, has responded to that like a champion. And it goes back to Mike Pettine talking about being mentally the toughest team on the field. He certainly has been that and done a great, great job after a shaky start earlier.
Sure, and just to talk about the long snapping position in general and the ability to manipulate the defense the way he did, as the caller just pointed out to us, is you watch a lot of film and you develop the mannerisms, the same way Billy Winn used the mannerisms and the action after the snap by Tampa's long snapper to know that he keeps his head down, he's really low, he's really wide, which would allow him to jump through and get the block that he did. You know, Christian Yount has some very similar tendencies, and maybe, again, this I don't know, but maybe he broke that tendency, and sometimes they tilt the ball and they kind of like did, they shuffle their shoulders, they drop their head, and then you know the ball is coming. So he might have done a few things that broke that tendency that gave Tampa Bay the understanding that the ball was going to be snaps, which lured them offsides. And again, as you said, Nathan, a huge play. It was a 4-point gain for us. Instead of kicking a field goal and settling again, which I hate doing, it allowed us the opportunity to score a touchdown and again get that momentum back in our home field.
Well, and it would have changed the game at the end. Even if you kicked that extra point and you were up 6, you take 4 off of that, you're only up 2, and so Tampa would have needed a field goal at the end of the game.
35-yard line, essentially.
Right, to win the game. So certainly a big, big play, and very good of you to point that out, Eric. We appreciate that. Let's go to James in Solon now on a Victory Monday here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. What's up, James?
Hey, I'll be real quick, and I need you guys to respond for my take here. What I see is when you play Cincinnati, that's going to be the real test. This week and last week against Oakland, we didn't play good. Anybody who says that you played good, I disagree. Defense and special teams and the turnovers of Tampa Bay won this game for us.
Yep.
The quarterback for Tampa Bay actually, despite his few, he made some bad mistakes, but actually played better than Hoyer played. Threw the ball better than he did.
He also had, to be fair, he also had some unbelievable talent out wide in Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans, and I think our receivers did a great job. Miles Austin, now 12 straight catches that have gone for first downs, half of which have been on third downs, continues to be clutch. Hawk had a couple big grabs. Of course, Taylor Gabriel, 5 for 87. Benjamin with that big 31-yarder on the first drive, working the seam. But you're right. This was not a great performance, especially not from the offense. That's why they were booed at times, and yet, you know, you go on and go out and are able to win the game anyway, that says something about your team. It says, listen, when we do fire on all cylinders, we're going to make a lot of noise. But even 2 weeks in a row, we beat teams we were supposed to beat when we weren't at our best. And that's how you build a winning culture.
Sure. And the frustration that, that loomed from the stadium in this game, I think, was kind of a 50-50 battle. And I think 50% of it was the play calling and the frustration with some of the play calling. And then the other 50 kind of fell on the shoulders of the execution of some of those plays, which has struggled mostly because of a lack of a run game. You know, we in this play action pass type of world, we want everything to look the same. Kyle Shanahan wants the levels of the helmets of the linemen on a run and a bootleg off of it, that action to look the same. And that way you truly disguise and put that question mark and doubt into a defender's mind, which allow you to get guys wide open, which we've done and schemed open as we've gotten Kyle Shanahan much, much praise for. But it's sometimes it's we got a little monotonous. You know, it seemed like the same play calls or the same actions over and over again, which a Tampa Bay team did very well, gave us the same result. You know, a 1 or 2 yard run or maybe a 3 yard run or an incompletion or a Brian Hoyer hit or a catch tackle, which didn't really allow us to move the football down the field. So again, I do believe on a short week, we're going to see a very similar game plan. We're not going to have a whole, that innovation and manufacturing yards that I talked about last week coming into Tampa. There's not much that you can throw with these guys on a short week because you want reps. Every time you do something new, you have to solidify that you've got it to the coaches for them to call those defensive or offensive plays in the game. And if you can't do that, they'll throw it out of the game plan. And that's why I think there's going to be a lot of carryover and why we might have seen some new wrinkles to the offense and defense this week versus the Buccaneers.
Yeah, I think you got to. You have to streamline everything, do what you can effectively. And this is a team against Cincinnati. The Browns know very well, team they've had a lot of success against in the past. But really, to me, what sums it up is you go to First Energy Stadium yesterday. You have an opportunity to either take a step forward or slide back into, you know, mediocrity, right back at 500. 5-3 seems so much different than 4-4. And the Browns went out there and they did it. And I know the celebration afterwards in the city of Cleveland was euphoric. It was like Nirvana. It's like, we're getting it done. 4 wins here. And I'm sure a lot of people pinched themselves when they woke up this morning. Was like, was that a dream? Did the Browns do it again? Did they win a game where they didn't look good? And yes, it only gets better in the morning as reality sets in that the Browns are now 5-3 on the season. They are 4-1 with you here in Cleveland at home. The second most wins they've had since they have come back in 1999 at home in a season, and they still have 3 home games to go. But, you know, when you can do that, when you can be not at your best, when you can kind of be that team that lies in the weeds and waits for your opportunity, and then you can capitalize on that and lay your best foot down when you need to the most, it says a lot about your team. It says a lot about the coaching. It says a lot about the veteran leadership on this team, the young guys buying in, making plays. It just kind of speaks well and for the future. I think today we will look back at what happened last night and say that last night was one of those special moments for this team that's going to help lay a foundation that they'll build on in the future.
I agree. And one quick point before we go to break is your Cleveland Browns right now share a 5-3 record with the Kansas City Chiefs, Indianapolis Colts, the Buffalo Bills, Miami Dolphins, Seattle Seahawks, who won the Super Bowl last year, and the Green Bay Packers. So not too shabby of company when you look at who's 5-3 across the league, because then also, too, you look at the bottom dwellers of the division, the record are flipped. 3 wins, 6 losses, 3 wins, 5 losses, 1-7, 3-5, 1-8. That's where we've been accustomed to being, and I think that is something that a lot of Browns fans and Northeast Ohio people in general are having to wrap their head around, and in some cases, why we might have heard those, you know, the Boo Birds come out a little early, but they're winning football games, Nathan, and that is what matters.
That is what matters. And how about the fact that the Baltimore Ravens find themselves at the bottom of the AFC North? The AFC North, by the way, the only division where every team has a winning record, the only division in football where every team has a positive differential on the season. It's the best division in football right now, folks. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. May not have the star power up top, but top to bottom, It has got it all. And right now the Browns have an opportunity to go to Cincinnati and get to 6-3, forcing the Bengals down to 5-3-1. They could leapfrog the Bengals. The Steelers sit at 6-3 as well already. Baltimore at 5-4. And of course our Cleveland Browns 5-3, as we have said. Yes, it was euphoric out there at First Energy Stadium and in the streets of Cleveland. I know East 4th was rocking last night. And that's the way it should be as the Browns continue their winning ways. It's a Victory Monday. We'll be back with the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan, for the roundtable. And joining him as well will be Kevin Jones, staff writer from ClevelandBrowns.com, coming up next, presented by Blue Point Grill.